And we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Please join us on Ash Wednesday/Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February 14th. We will be offering a spaghetti dinner starting at 5:30 p.m., and our service will be at 7 p.m. All are welcome here at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning, we are going to be blessed by some special music by Proof entitled Chain Breaker.
This song is called Chain Breaker, and Mark and I follow this song into the Bible. And if you look, whenever you get a chance, on Matthew 11, verses 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you peace and rest."
Amen.
And that's what this song is all about. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. You're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's the pain taker. You feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. You got chains, He's a chain-breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you got chains, He's a chain-breaker. You believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it. Somebody testify, testify, if you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it. Somebody testify, testify, if you can leave it. If you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. You got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. If you got chained or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker.
Amen.
Jimmy, I love it that you always take all of your songs and bring them back to the Word of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Proof. That was amazing. Now our scripture reading this morning is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31. This can be found in your pew Bible on page 1132 for those who would like to follow along. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now our sermon reading will be from Pastor Angel Armstrong, entitled, The Present Form of This World is Passing Away.
I titled this sermon, The Present Form of This World is Passing Away, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's actually part of the scripture. It is the 31st verse. And the other, has anybody ever read any of Frank Peretti's books? They're fictional books, but they're about warfare. And he has one that says, this ever-present darkness, signifying the spiritual warfare that we are all going through. This particular text reminds me of parades. Who here likes a parade? Not too long ago, we got to see Macy's Turkey Day Extravaganza filmed in New York. And we got to see the majesty of a parade parading by us. This verse, this short little reading, is a parade parading by us. It is like a reviewing stand of soldiers who pass by. And we all stand there and say, look how manly they are. Look how skillful they are. They defend us and they care for us. But in a moment, they are gone. They are out of sight. The words passing away in the Greek mean to lead by. It suggests a picture of a parade of soldiers being led past a review board where they are judging them for their appearance and for their skill. So it is with this world, our text says. There it is. But watch, in just a moment, it will be gone. We are nearing the end of times. This world is becoming increasingly dark and chaotic. And our challenge as Christians is to wholeheartedly follow our Lord Jesus Christ and to become more and more like him daily. There is a cathedral in Milan. It has three giant doorways, all of them beautifully structured. The first one, the one on the left, has a carved wreath of roses around it and an inscription that says, all that pleases is but for a moment. And then on the right archway, carved in side of a cross, it says, all that which troubles is but for a moment. And then in the grand entrance, in the middle, there is a beautiful inscription that reminds us of what this text is trying to say today. That only is important which is eternal. We are to focus on that which is eternal. There are a lot of trivial things in this world that can catch our attention, and we can become fixated. We can even become addicted. But we are to focus on the things that really matter. The Word of God really matters. Being present with one another on Sunday morning, praying for one another, is something that will sustain us in these dark and troubled times. We are living in what I fully believe is the end times. As we walk through this scripture during Epiphany season, right after the new year, it says three things to me. To begin with, beloved, this is a pageant in life in which we find ourselves. It is a real thing. For those of you who participated in high school plays, college plays, and musical, did anybody ever participate in a play? Yeah, when you first start practicing, rehearsing for that play, there's a whole bunch of horseplay. Nobody's really paying attention to the lines. You're all goofing off, and nothing really seems to matter other than having fun with one another. But the closer it gets to the opening day, the more serious that we become. All of a sudden, that opening day is there. And we are completely focused. The show must go on no matter what. And we present our best foot forward. So we need to be reminded that this life for us, every single moment of it, is a real thing. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is our one and only chance to make a difference for one another. This is our one and only chance to make a commitment for Christ Jesus so that we will live with Him in eternity. There aren't any do-overs. We don't get to start again. It is this life that matters, and we must live it as if it seriously matters. My little brother, God rest his soul, was a huge sports fan. I remember him calling me all excited, saying, Angie, I sent you an email that's got an article in it. I want you to read it. It was all about some boxing guy named Max Baer. He was a heavyweight champion in the 1930s. My little brother was all kinds of excited. Apparently, this Max Baer fought the heavyweight champion of Germany. He fought the heavyweight champion of Italy, and he even fought the great champion, Joe Louis. For a short time, he was the heavyweight champion of the world. What a great accomplishment. And when he got to the point where he had to retire, he moved himself out of the limelight. He had had several heart attacks. One morning, he and his wife were sitting and reading scripture on the edge of the bed. And he grabbed his chest. He clutched his chest in pain. And he looked at his wife and he said, "This is it. This is it." He was going home. That was his final moment. As he lay dying, he looked up at her and repeated the scripture that they had just read. For that was what was on his mind as he entered eternity. Yes, beloved, this is your life and your only life. Who knows how what you say or what you do will impact another life? Who knows that somebody is not watching you to see how they can make it through life? Who knows that what you don't say to someone won't change their life? Time and time again, I read all these stories in guideposts and everywhere else about somebody who plans on killing themselves, and someone said something nice to them in a line in the store, and they chose not to take their own life. I hear time and time again how we may be the only Bible that someone sees. When I go in and I do jail ministry, they remind me of that. You just might be the only Bible that these people see. We are to focus on the eternal. Have you ever heard the saying, he was majoring on the minors? There was a man who wrote his own epitaph. And he said, he lived, he was born in, and he died in, and he was a wholesale grocer. Strange thing to have on his epitaph. But he was asked, why did you put that on there? And he said, because I was so busy selling groceries. I was so busy making a living that I forgot to live. I had plenty of money by which to travel, but I never did. I should have had time for the things that were important, for getting married, but I never got married and I never had a family. I didn't participate in religious or social or political activities. All I focused on was building my career. That happens when we're young. We are so busy focusing on just making it. And then when we get a little bit older, we look back and we say, I wished I had spent more time with my kids. I wished I had spent more time with my wife. Because we had been so focused on getting ahead and on making it in life that we weren't essential to the ones who really mattered to us. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. Discriminate, distinguish between the vital and the trivial. Our Savior showed us the way when he laid his life down for us. When he died upon the cross, he was saying that we are not trivial. We are essential. We are essential to the purposes of God. We are so important to Christ Jesus that he would rather descend into hell than to move straight up to heaven without us. He took upon himself all the burdens, all the sorrows, all of the sins of the world so that he might save us, showing each and every one of you sitting here are of extreme importance to our God. I love it when people say, remember that in the eyes of God, you are special and you are important. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the one set of eyes that matter to me. If somebody else doesn't see me as important, that's okay. Because I know in my Father's eyes that I am important. Jesus Christ thought I was so important that he died upon the cross for me. I will never forget as long as I live. My very first pastor and now my mentor asked me, Angel, do you believe Jesus Christ would have died just for you if you were the only person alive? It took me 8 months to go back to David and tell him, yeah, I believe he would. At that point in time in my life, if you gave me a compliment, I acted like it was a cigarette burn. I shied away from it. I thought nothing of myself. He spent a couple of years pouring into me to get me to see myself in the Father's eyes. And that is my prayer when I walk into the jails, when I go out into the community, when I spend time with somebody one-on-one. I want them to see how loved and how valued they are in our Father's eyes. A thought comes to mind for me. Not too terribly long ago, some of us probably made some New Year's resolutions. Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Have you in the past ever? They're really hard to hold to, aren't they? And you get pretty disappointed with yourself. May I suggest the only one that really matters? Become involved. Become involved in your church. Become involved in your community. Become involved and fall deeper in love with Christ Jesus, your King, with our Father God, the Father Almighty who spoke everything into existence. Find a way to become involved. That is the things that clearly matter. Someone once asked, what can I do? One single voice. My voice doesn't mean much. But one voice can make a difference. We can stay awake when others fall asleep. We continue to work when others move along the side. We can say that someone is valuable. We can say when people say money, we can say no people, because people are more valuable than money. A pastor friend of mine had a real interesting habit that he did every single year. On the Sunday closest to New Year's, he would include a little pocket calendar in the bulletin. Then he would stand up and say, our Lord is giving you a precious gift, another year, 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to make it count? Are you going to do something for him with that? What do you spend your time on? I'll tell you what we shouldn't spend our time on. We should not spend our time on division, on becoming offended, on gossip, on things that divide. Getting hurt is inevitable in life. Most of the time, people don't mean to hurt our feelings. Some of the times, it is the mind space that we were in when somebody said something to us. Have you ever had anybody look at you and all of a sudden you're mad? What'd they look at me like that for? Yeah! Chad says that all the time. I'm kidding. No, he says, what you looking at? All the time. Cracks me up. We stay offended in this society today. Satan is causing division. It is an extremely destructive choice to get offended. We tend to even bond over shared offenses. Offense is the doorway to the demonic. It stunts our growth and it grieves the Holy Spirit. If we call ourselves Christians, let's live wholeheartedly for Christ. We don't have any time for division. Jesus himself prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Let them also be in us. Let us partner with that prayer. Let us be with him. Let us decide right now, today, that we won't get offended by something somebody said. 9 out of 10, they didn't mean any offense anyway. And even if they did, that just happens to be where they are right then. I've noticed being a little too thin-skinned lately. Poor Terry, she gets to hear all of it. Something minor happens, and I'm like, bing, 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 bing. And then I get into the Word, and I am reminded of that which is eternal, that which is essential, that which is vital to us. I'm going to close with a couple of poems about the new year. O year that is going, take with you some evil that dwells in my heart. Let selfishness, doubt, with the old year go out. With joy I would see them depart. O year that is going, take with you impatience and willfulness and pride. The sharp word that slips from these too hasty of lips, I would cast that old year aside. O year that is coming, bring with you some virtue of which I have need. More patience to bear and more kindness to share and more love that is true love indeed. And then this one, the final one, which is said in the form of a prayer. O Lord, I pray from this day I may not swerve by foot or hand from thy command, not to be served, but to serve. This too I pray from this day. No love of ease, no pride prevent my good intent. Not to be pleased, but to please. And if I may, I have this day strength from above to set my heart in heavenly art. Not to be loved, but that I might love. Let us carry with us the essence of that which is eternal. The essence of that which is vital, and that is the love of Christ Jesus. May we each today recommit our lives to Christ Jesus. May we commit to following him and becoming more like him every day. You know, when I was ordained, there was just one of the vows that I had a really hard time with. They asked whether or not we believed we could become perfected this side of heaven. And the response was to be, with God's help, I can. I remember questioning my mentor about that over and over again because I don't believe that anybody but Jesus Christ was perfect. And what my mentor told me was, they are asking, can you, with God's help, become perfected in love? And with God's help, with constant prayer, with constantly looking towards what is vital, what is essential, I do believe that we can love one another in that way, but not without God's help.